You are listening to 10 Wrestling's 2300 Wrestling Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at 10 Wrestling Pro Wrestling Discussions, on Twitter at 2300 Wrestling P1, and catch new episodes of the 2300 Wrestling Podcast on Anchor FM, Spotify, and other leading platforms.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Keener from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. This past Sunday, January 16th, 2022, a great fan of the world of professional wrestling was lost. We lost somebody who has gone to many, many shows throughout the tri-state area. This fan's name was Bill Palmerino. So, with great salute, here's a 10-bell salute in the air for you, and you will be missed, my brother. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my sweetie referee, Dave Keener.
Hey, what the hell?
What?
I gave you water, dude.
Get your water.
But that's then it doesn't work.
Dude, you're going to keep on talking about the sweet tea. Wawa doesn't have any iced tea.
I know, I saw.
Dude, the only thing they have
is... None of the Wawas I went to. I had to go to Swiss Farms to get sweet tea. It's not the same.
I'm sorry, man. I'm my budget is off. Who do we have on today?
Mr. Hangtime, Jay Flyer.
Oh, hello, Jay.
Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
All right, cool. Well,
you didn't put any energy on this. I'm a little bit upset with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight, or today, this afternoon, whatever the hell time it is Mr. Hangtime, Jay Flyer.
Did that sound better?
Is that better?
Jay Flyer, but yeah.
Okay, again, do it again. I need you to be on
point. I
thought
I said Jay Flyer.
I need you to do it one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on this afternoon's show, the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, is Mr. Hangtime Jay Flyer.
Was that better for you?
Beautiful.
Okay, awesome. Cool. Because I want to make him perfect. He is a Keener, so he needs to be perfect.
Hey. Thank you.
I'm not Kurt Hennig, all right? I'm not that perfect.
No. Because who you are in this business, you are a Keener. So you have to be perfect or your brother's going to scream at you. Oh, gosh. That's how we had to do it here, man. I had to start off this whole show and make him, like, understand life. There we go. So I want to bring up a question before we go all on our little journey in this thing. So what's your opinion about what Hannibal did to the referee on the show with the whole blading and...
I don't think it was right.
Yeah. I think it's wrong, like, to go into business and trying to hurt somebody in the business. And
absolutely.
So I always want to know what everybody else thinks about this. Do you think he should be blackballed from the business?
I mean, my opinion, that's still attempted murder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it was planned or whatever it was, it's still attempted murder.
But
I don't care. I don't want nothing to do with that.
Right.
Yeah. And
I completely agree and everything, but I'm just saying whether it was planned or not, that's still not right.
Yeah. I always wanted to figure out what everybody says about this. And so thank you for your answer and honesty and all that stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Because like everything that's going on in this, the whole COVID all the way here, we had the speak out movement, we had this and that. And then we get somebody wants to try to murder somebody and
going into business for themselves.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we're good on that.
Okay, let's get into your career a little bit. Because, like, when people get onto the show and this is their comment, and we're like, oh, we have Jay Flyer on, blah, 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 or we have Tony DeVito. Yeah, people say, who's Tony DeVito? And I don't know why. Yeah, they're like, who's Tony DeVito?
And I mean, we had Eric Watts on, and people were like, who?
Yeah, people don't know who people is when they listen to our show. They're like, who? So, because they watch the new stuff right now, the only thing they know is CM Punk or John Cena or something like that.
And MJF.
Who?
Okay.
Yeah. The less famous Miz.
Oh, the less famous Miz. I know that name. Or is it my favorite?
My what was it? My jealous?
My jealous fan. Yeah. So, let's go into who trained you, and let's start from there.
Okay. Well, my head trainer would be Samu, the Wild Samoan.
Oh, I like him.
I just saw him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. I like him.
Yeah, I'm friends with his son, so.
Yep.
So I was trained by the Samoans. I went 2010 is when I graduated. I went to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I moved out there. I literally Googled it. I just Googled the best wrestling school, and that's what came up. And that's the one that I said, all right, that's where I'm going. So I picked up and I moved out there and I did the training for pretty much, it was about a year. And then I graduated there and then I moved away and I've just been traveling, man.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, good people up there. Good people up there.
I'm a big fan of the head shrinkers when I was a kid. Kind of weird that a fan of heels as a kid and you thought they were...
Yeah. Depending on the heel. You know, like Jerry Lawler was one of the greatest heels of all time. Still is, but still.
But like when I was a kid, I didn't know anything about this. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have anything. I was a fan of the Samoans, you know? Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, what was...
Wait. Side story. I watched them when they were in like AWA and NWA and all that, when they were the Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah. So. But what was the best advice Samu ever gave you?
Stay humble, man, and stay humble and bring your A game no matter what you do.
Didn't Lance say that to us, too?
I mean, that's his dad. Of course he's going to say that.
Yeah. That is freaking awesome. I love the same voices.
It literally is, because like the thing is too is that there's a lot of people too that can be kind of egotistic about certain things, and you know, everyone's trying to do something and get somewhere and do something different, you know, so everyone has that drive to do it, but the biggest thing is staying humble while you drive is a big key.
Yeah, I agree.
Right,
like that's how I feel when I do this podcast. I don't want to be anybody bigger than anybody else. I want to help other people. Like last night I went to Black Keys and asked him, I was like, I have a friend that does podcasts. He was so jealous of me doing an interview with you. How would he get a hold of you to do the interview? And they made a connection last night. So it's kind of cool.
One of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's awesome.
Okay.
He's humble also, too. It's amazing.
A very cool thing too is I just got my website. I have my own website too. So you can actually go right onto my website. It is jflyer450.com. Make sure you spell my name right, because sometimes that's a little bit of an issue with people. It's spelled JAYFLYIER 450.com. Now that has to make sure it's spelled right. Yes, obviously it's spelled differently, and that's spelled differently for a reason.
Oh, I bet. Question, what can we find on that website?
You can find my merchandise. You can find my bio, my resume, my catchphrases, my experience, my goals, my championship history, my calendar of where I am. You can contact me on there. Just everything. You go onto my website and you can find it. You can find all of my social media at Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Everything is linked.
That is very, very cool.
And check out all of my stuff.
So I want to try to something like that too. How did you start doing the whole like the website? How did you do it?
Well, I guess you got to know the right people that know how to do the right thing, right?
Okay. I thought you may. Okay, you had people around you. Awesome. I wish I had people around me. I only have Dave.
Well, I don't know. I just, you dig and you dig and you find ways. So
yeah, everybody that worked with us, they quit on us. They're like, you guys are so horrible to us. And I'm like, I didn't do anything.
No.
Here's a hot dog and a handshake, and they got up. Oh
yeah.
Oh, dog.
You've really done it when you get handed a gold hot dog.
Oh yeah.
That's a different hot dog altogether.
So what other kind of info would you guys like to be able to bring out of me?
Oh, we got a whole set of stuff right here.
We got a whole run sheet, bro. Trust me, we got you.
Oh yeah. I want to get into this one because we haven't asked this one before. What when you're working out, what kind of music do you listen to?
Well, I would definitely have to say Linkin Park is my number one go-to.
Okay. I like Linkin Park.
Linkin Park is one of my favorite bands, always has been. And it definitely gives me the motivation when I'm in the gym and I'm training and all that stuff. So I put some Linkin Park on and I feel like I can just go to town.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
What do you listen to when you work out, DB?
I don't work out. I listen to my podcast when I edit.
See, and it's funny because when I work out, the most common ones are Linkin Park, Rage Against the Machine, Metallica, or Pantera.
Okay, mine's Britney Spears and Spice Girls.
You've been hanging out with Rob Radke, haven't you?
Perfect. I tried the Britney Spears one. I just couldn't get it.
Oh, it was just joke.
The Children of Bodom version of Toxic, maybe. So
I always try to get him to put, let me pick a song for him when he does karaoke, because I don't sing. I'm not a singer.
I do.
I'm more of sitting there listening to people sing. It's funny.
While editing on the laptop.
Yes, when I'm editing. I'm always editing. I'm always doing something. So when I'm at a bar, I'm like sitting here editing the whole time. I always try to get him to do Britney Spears or Spice Girls. girls or something.
With my voice, no.
No, it's just be funny and have fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. You gotta have fun.
I sing a lot of heavy metal, so that growl doing Britney Spears, yeah, no.
Yeah, you can.
Wow, okay.
So, when you were growing up, were you a fan of the business? Because I know I was. I know I woke up Saturday mornings, 9:05, TBS, watching the Power Hour, while having breakfast every Saturday morning growing up. See, he gets it.
So, I guess I could say is, I was six years old, and I actually saw, you know, the Rock and Sock Connection, man. Like, that's what spun everything for me. So, see the Rock and Sock Connection, you know, with Mick Foley and stuff, and just like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do.
Oh yeah,
that's another one. Meeting Mickey was cool.
At six, like, I literally think before that I wanted to be an astronaut.
Okay.
Like, you I literally wanted to be an astronaut, and then when I was six and I witnessed the whole Rock and Sock Connection thing, I said, I don't want to be an astronaut. I want to be a professional wrestler. So
that's cool.
See, I remember.
So it changed from that, you know. And then I ended up getting in a lot of trouble all the time, because all I was trying to do was like just wrestle things in my house and
take that pillow, body slam it.
My grandfather at the time would get me like large stuffed animals, and he'd bring them over to the house for me just to beat them up. So
I like that.
That was pretty awesome. That's kind of how it all started.
See, for me, I'm 42 years old, so I had the wrestling buddies growing up. I had the Warrior, I had Savage, I had DiBiase, and I had Hogan,
and he had Mike Keener.
Well, no, he beat me up. But I had the wrestling buddies until the one time I had Savage hit me with a clothesline and the arm ripped.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You have to think about it. As a kid, that's the closest you get to that. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I mean, even watching the cartoon, the USA Cartoon Express. I know not all the people remember this. I don't know if you remember it, DB.
Rockin'.
But Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling Connection or something like that.
Yeah.
Came on the USA Cartoon Express every Saturday morning before the Power Hour.
Dude, okay. Watching cartoons back then was awesome. And
cartoons now are just hell.
But
moving on.
Yeah. So let's get.
So when you got into the business, what did your family think of the fact that you wanted to become a professional wrestler?
Well, I guess my story is a little bit out there. So I guess when I started, you know, everyone has their ways of starting. I was, you know, I had a trampoline, and I was kind of bad with that. So I was always trying to wrestle outside my backyard, and like then I started getting a few friends, and you know, that's kind of how it started. I was in middle school at the time, and then we ended up starting to get like hardcore about it, and my mother was just not cool about it. She just, what are you driving me nuts? Because she had this karaoke. My mother loved to sing, okay? So she had like this karaoke and this microphone and stuff, and she would always end up finding that it's missing. So like, you know, she knows, oh, it's missing, I know where it went, because it's me outside with it probably cutting or announcing something in the backyard or something. So anyway, that's kind of how it went. She didn't like any of that, but she could tell that I was very passionate about what I wanted.
Yeah.
So she kind of, she got tired of yelling at me. I got everything taken from me and stuff like that. So she's like, you know, if you're going to do it the right way, I want you to do it the right way. If you're going to do it, I want you to do it the right way. So,
yeah.
So there was this federation running in Rochester, and it was Next Era Wrestling at the time. I think I was like 15 years old.
Okay.
But she would actually drive me in the middle of winter. Like, she would drive me out to these shows just to do security to just be able to be there.
Oh, that's and, so awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so she kind of helped me do that stuff. And then, I don't know, like, I just kind of, you know, started getting in there, rolling around and all that kind of stuff. And I happened to be able to start trying to wrestle, I guess. I didn't actually go to a training school at the time. I did train at the Next Era Wrestling there and stuff like that. But I was training there, and then I decided, I don't know, I did gymnastics all my life and stuff. So I was able to flip around and stuff, and it just kind of worked. So I kind of picked it up, and I didn't know how to slow down worth a shit, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, a lot of wrestlers always throw that as a advice to slow down.
I was just so bad. I was just running around like Tasmanian Devil running around with a Roadrunner. Like, it's just out of control. Like, dude, what are you doing? You know? So then finally, I actually was able to go to a wrestling school, you know? Like, I was like, I need to go somewhere, because I've already been wrestling. I've been wrestling since 2006. So I'm on like 16 years, something like that. But I officially graduated graduated from the Wild Samoans in 2010. So that would give me 12 years of that, of actually like going to school and then boom. I don't know. I went to the training school. I was actually wrestling. I did a few shows and stuff like that. And before I even went to school. And then when I went to the school, like some people could tell that, oh, well, you must have done something before coming here. And I was very like, I didn't want to say anything about it because I can't be like, yeah, I've done this and then get in here. I'd rather show you guys and earn everything from you. So
right. That's like, we've been taking my girlfriend's son, Michael, with us to shows. He is 15 and he's 6'4". I'm like, you want to start training? You want to start working, helping out and stuff like that? So we take him down to Delaware to one of the shows and he just gets in the ring and starts working out and start running and setting up the ring and everything else. I'm like, all right, you're paying your dues. Let's go. Come on. Let's have fun. Your training.
Yeah. Set it up. Tear it.
Right.
Yeah, we always go down to 1CW, and they always let me bring my podcast stuff and do interviews with whoever's in the back, whoever wants to come out and do something. And it's kind of fun. I enjoy doing that stuff. So okay. I want to do one of this new, the new thing that we started doing this year. What is it called, Dave?
Which one? The three matches?
The three matches.
So came up with this question, and it's your favorite three matches that kind of like inspired you with wrestling. Like one of mine will be the ladder match at WrestleMania 10 between Shawn and Razor.
Oh, come on. That was going to be mine.
What? Okay, see? Okay, you get the question. Though. That could still be yours. That's fine. But I mean, that could still be one of them, but that's still cool, though. Do you have two other favorite matches that kind of like inspired you when you watched them?
Yeah, actually, I would say Rey Mysterio versus JBL. That kind of really inspired me, not only just because of the big and the small, but like the psychology and the storytelling.
Yeah,
it's huge. So that was really exciting for me, I guess you could say. Rey Mysterio has always been kind of like, I've always had a like Rey Mysterio. So.
Underdog, complete underdog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was there when he did the, what was it, the death match between him and Psychosis at ECW.
Okay.
Where he pinned him on the stage.
Yeah.
So, one more.
I think it would have to say is Chris Jericho versus Chris Benoit.
Ooh, one night stand.
One night stand.
Wow. My brother ref that match.
Did he?
Yeah, go back and watch. Mike ref that match.
Oh, shoot. I had to look into that. Is that your favorite referee?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I remember I remember when Mike called me. He goes, we're coming back. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, in June. He calls me in December. And he's like, June, one night stand up in New York. I'm like, like I watched it on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Jericho didn't do Y2J that night. He did Lionheart.
Oh.
He had the old Lionheart jacket on with the yellow and black gear.
Yep.
I want to change around. I wanted to know what was your favorite matches you did. Three of them.
Man. You guys are digging deep now.
I am. That's who we are.
Go get the shovel.
I got the shovel. Let's do it.
There's a lot.
It's a tough one.
I would have to say one of the most fun ones that I had was me versus Daniel Adams, Mr. Good Luck at the time.
Okay.
Daniel Adams?
Samuel. Oh, I got his beer in my fridge.
He's partners with the Sambo Show.
Okay.
Now, Samuel Adams, we had a match for WXW C4 in Limeberry, PA, I think, something like that.
Okay.
And it was just awesome. I really, like, just the fans, the whole atmosphere, the whole thing, just in the match with them, it was fun, but it was hard-hitting, and it was to the point, and it was just, you know when you have that good chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I would say that one. Another one, I learned a lot too when I did I faced HC Loke one-on-one.
We love Loke.
Oh, Matt is a great friend of mine. He is a friend. I've known him for years.
Yeah. So having a one-on-one with him, that was really cool because he didn't know anything about me, anything, you know. And I'm like, wow, I got to go into this match and, you know, I don't want to mess anything up or I want everything to be right.
Funny,
and,
side story real quick. Don't mean to interrupt you, but side story is we had Tony on last week, Tony DeVito, and they just, like, I'm getting texts from Matt or from Loke back and forth. This is just a rib on Tony.
Yeah.
It was a fun interview.
Yeah. Well, I would definitely definitely say that would be two. Me versus Loaf. That was just fun. I learned a lot, and it's fun to work with people like that. You definitely just learn. Learning is key. So
yeah, keep on learning. That we're trying to do the same thing, doing this podcast stuff. Always learning something new.
Last and one. Then I would have to tell you this one is. Wow. All right. So this is probably the most hitting one for me.
Okay.
Is when I first graduated with the Samoans, I was able to be on a live WXW C4 TV taping show. And I had a nice clothes on, nice suit on. I had to go get this stuff. So they told me, oh, you're going to be graduating tonight. You know, you're going to be live. We're going to hand you your plaque on the live. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is great. You know? Well, they hand me my plaque and everything, and I cut a promo, and obviously that promo was not good, I will say, but I was just so shook up, so like, I was all excited about it, and then next thing you know, Offa Junior's music hits, and... Alpha Junior comes out with like, I don't know, 5 or 6 Samoan guys, all and they all came out and surrounded the ring, and I just thought I was going to die. And next thing you know, Alpha gets in, and I had a match with him. And yeah, Alpha lit me up, like destroyed my clothes and everything. And that's pretty much how you survive.
Oh yeah,
that's how you do it, man. Like I literally got my plaque, and I didn't know this was coming, and it was just like it was amazing, the whole thing. Like I was so shook up, but when it happened and it was done. And then I came back in the locker room and they like, you know, shook my hand and applauded me on it. Like, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So I took a hell of a beating from Offa Jr., but I loved every second of it.
I was talking to Chio and he said how he knows you from WXW C4.
Yep.
Yeah, he said you're a good kid.
Thank you. I try to be, man. I'm very humble about everything. You know?
Yeah.
I've been in for 16 years, but I still make sure I listen to and think about other things. You know?
It's like a thing, like, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, all that stuff, saying thank you, and shaking everybody's hand. Like, last night, I shook everybody's hand on the way out.
We hung out with Black G's last night. Now, the man's been in this business for God knows how long, and he didn't have to come up to us and say goodbye or say hi or whatever last night, but the man is so humble that he said, hey, hi, and everything else. Like, I walk in the buildings. I've been reffing probably about 20 years or something like that, and I still walk in the buildings and say hi to the promoter, shake hands, and even if I'm not on the show, I'm just hanging out. What the hell you doing here? I'm like, I got friends on the show. I'm coming to support. I bought my ticket. I'm going in and I'm going to hang out with my friends because I'm the type that even if I'm not on it and I know I got friends that are on the show, I'm still going to go hang out, you know?
Always, and have fun doing it too.
Right.
Being in the crowd, not a lot of people know if you're a wrestler or not. Sit in the crowd and scream.
My boy Mike Law was on the show last night and he did a death match and I walked up to him at the end of the show. I'm like, pardon me. I'm like, motherfucker, are you okay?
His whole back is all chewed up.
I'm like, dude, I've never seen you. As long as we work together, I've never seen you do a death match. She's like, just figure the hell with it. They're going to try it once.
Yeah. Like, oh. He's not going to do that again.
No. And I mean, I don't know if you know Mike Law and Azrael or not, but those guys were both there. And I'm just sitting there and I'm talking to Az during Mike's match and he's just freaking.
Dude, he's covering up his face like, oh my gosh. But it was kind of funny. But putting this out there, let's do the question. How did we get there?
How did we get there?
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to talking about Sean versus Razor, ladder match. There was 6 months of pre-limb type stuff to get there to the ladder match. Do you feel that wrestling has lacked the how do we get there? Like, why are we going to do the ladder match? Why are we going to a death match? Why are we doing a light bulb match? How do we get there?
So you're asking me if everything is slowly adding up to what it needs to be, or is it not?
No, what I'm saying is I miss the how do we get there. Like, say it would be you and Loke in a death match.
He just asked you. You're talking about
finishing the question. Like, I want to know why. Why are we doing that match?
Because you don't see it in death matches or anything, the storyline from the beginning. It's like, why did they start this feud? It's kind of horrible sometimes, but do we need that in wrestling now, like for independence? Because I want to buy a ticket to go to a show instead of me not knowing what's going on. Why do I want to see? To me, like, I know wrestlers now and I look at them and go, oh, I know him and let's go see that show. But before, like, if I want to get into watching the company, I want to know how we got there.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. I feel like it doesn't, there's no add up to anything. I feel like everyone just wants to do what they want to do. They're just like, oh, I want to use this. I want to use this ladder. I want to use that. Well, why are you using that? Okay, I get that. But there's got to be some kind of add up. So, like, if you think of Bushwhacker, Barber, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, okay?
Okay.
So if you take him, for instance, with his scissors, if he's having a match and they're having a couple matches back and forth, you know, they're just basic matches. And then all of a sudden he tries to cheat by bringing out his scissors or trying to cut his hair and he doesn't get to use it. Well, that could build up to a scissors or like a hair match.
Yeah,
now right, that's, the hair versus hair.
Yeah, like, because like you're building that up. But like, I feel like a lot of people now, it's just like, oh, it's the ladder match. Let's just have a ladder match. Well, why are we having a ladder match? Just to have it.
Okay, why?
Yeah.
That's my argument. Why?
Like last night, we didn't know there was going to be a death match with Mike Law versus Kit
Osborne.
And we didn't know that was going. And if I was a promoter, I wanted to put the storyline on Facebook or something and push it. And because you look at the crowd wasn't big. They only had two rows and it was like only one row.
I mean, it's a nice building, but it's small, you know?
It's like, if you're promoting, you need to promote everything. And we just went because we saw, and plus we wanted to see O-Dog and all that. And Dave's trying to make gigs and stuff like that. But we're there and we're like, wow, there's not a lot of fans here.
No.
But at least it's on IWTV and it was a good show. I will never, Marcus Mathers, amazing kid.
Dylan McKay versus Black Cheese. Marcus Mathers versus Ezreal.
It's a great card, but I didn't know any storylines to the show.
Jay Curcio versus Satu Jin. Is that who we were?
I don't know.
I think I can't remember.
That was Drew.
Or Drew Bloodwork. Yeah. Jay Curcio, yeah. But yeah. It was a good show.
It was a great show. But let's get back to the
hit. That was $25, but it was a good show.
So I'm a big fan of ribs and pranks. And Davis, too. You ever
if you have a good barbecue sauce, then yeah.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But, like, it has to be good ribs, you know what I mean? Like, ribbing. Like, I rid my one friend at a bar and asked the bartender to put apple juice in the glass. And he didn't know it was apple juice the whole time, but
I mean, it looks like beer, so.
So, like, have you been in on ribs or pranks in your career?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Depends who's asking. not anything like too extreme.
Yeah, we're just finding small funny stories that you can tell and we'll laugh and have fun and Dave will laugh. But you don't have to say names. You can say create a character number 17, 52, whatever number you want to name.
Well, I didn't personally do it, but I've seen things.
Okay.
You ever like heard of Hot Stuff?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
So Hot Stuff got added to a water bottle and they sprayed it all over their face and everything.
Oh, fuck.
And they went out and their face was bright red.
Oh, shit.
And it looks like they were going to pass out.
Oh, my gosh.
I had a lot of road experiences, you know. And
yeah.
Be on the road, and you get bored, you know. You're on the road for hours and hours at a time. You try to find other things that are funny or whatever, you know.
So, moving on to the next question. So, we have a mainstay question. Question called Table of Five. Now, I know the Samoans as well. So, the question is, what four? You're the fifth person. So, what four other, like, Samoans would you go and hang out with, like dinner, have a drink, something like that?
It has to be Samoan.
Yeah, it has to be Samoan. Well, yeah,
somebody from WXW.
Yeah, it could be anybody that works for WXW, C4.
Yeah, I know quite a few that work for that company.
Well, I would definitely have to say Samu would be one, of course. Alpha Jr. would be two. Then I would say Lance.
Awesome dude, Lance is...
We were supposed to bring him at Icons.
I would say Stefa.
Nice, yeah.
All good people. All good people.
They're
yeah.
all great people.
I walked up to Samu at Icons. I'm like, yeah, man, I was bringing in your son. He's like, hey, he's got that fucking arm. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I talked to him this morning. He's like, yeah. I'm like, maybe March. He's like, good deal.
He goes, thank you for doing this. And I'm like, yeah. You're welcome.
Very humble.
Yeah. Yeah, Lance came to me and asked me, he wanted to be there and everything. And I'm like, yeah, man, let's get a table. And do you have promos? And he goes, no. I was like, I'll get them. When he gets out there, we'll do it.
We got you.
The future is bright.
Because you got to wear shades?
Yes. At least you got the question.
All right.
Geek out moment?
Geek out moment.
Geek out moment.
So I have numerous these. DB had one 2 weeks ago.
I always have geek out.
No, players. This one, you were like drooling on this one. So we're sitting there at Icons and we're talking, and all of a sudden the Warlord and Barbarian walk by us in full paint. Dude, and he starts drooling and go, oh my God.
I wasn't drooling, but.
You were damn near. But I'm looking at him. And Warlord is still just as big as he was in 1993.
Dude, he was still jacked.
Right. So, you ever have a geek out moment, like walk in the locker room or walk in the building and go, oh shit, dude, you're here?
Yeah. I see a lot of the same people in the same locker room.
Yeah.
But what was the first one? Like, now I see a bunch of people. It's not like that anymore. No. But what was the first one that you were like, oh my gosh?
I think the first one was Brutus.
Oh.
Brutus, like, because I was literally in a locker room sitting right next to him. And it was just like, I don't know, he wasn't very friendly the first time. Like, the third or fourth time I saw him, he started kind of, like, being nice and shit.
Yeah, but I think he had to get to know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of thing. A lot of people are like that.
Jerry Lynn.
Jerry Lynn was easy to talk to.
I'm sitting there in the locker room doing a show up in Trooper for 3KW, one of Carino's companies before you went up. And I'm just putting the towel over my head, and he's sitting there next to me. He goes, hey, man, how you doing? I'm like, take the towel off. I'm like, oh, shit. Hi, Jerry. And then one little story, I don't know if I ever told you, DB. I was hanging out in the back of Ring of Honor, and I sat down, and Christopher Daniels sat next to me. He goes, hey, man, how you been? He's like, PWF up in Pottstown. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, holy shit, dude, you remember me? He's like, you're Keener's brother. Fucking right. Like, thank you, Chris.
I get that now, too, like, with certain people.
I mean, yeah. Christopher Daniels, so humble. Jerry Lynn, so humble. They're awesome guys.
The first time I met Shane Douglas.
Wait a minute. Tell Jay the Shane Douglas story when we were up in New York. At the Trifecta show.
Oh, not that one. I'll tell that one in a second. The first time I met him, he stood up, and I'm like, holy shit, you're short.
That's right, like, shut the fuck up, man.
And Shane's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what people tell me. I'm like, dude, but I was this small when I looked up to you. So, yeah.
And now you're looking down on him.
And then the second time, I had a program, Hardcore Homecoming. This is like the first indie ECW pay-per-view before they did the one WWE. And I brought a program to the Jersey show, North Jersey show up for Trifecta for Nowhere. I showed him the program. He goes, oh my gosh, I think I wrote this whole thing. He's like opening up the book. He's like, wow. He's like, can I take a picture of this? And he starts taking pictures. And then like Shane's like, man, let me look into this. The guy that brought him in is getting pissed off because we're blocking the payday right there. And he's like, oh my gosh, he's gone. Oh my gosh, he's gone. He counted like around like 15 people dead.
Yeah, and the vendor that brought him in was looking at him. He's like, all right, come on. No, Shane's like, you can fucking wait.
Yeah, I'm looking at something. This is really cool. It's amazing that you still have this program.
Wow. You got him to sign it, right?
No, I didn't get him to sign it. I should have gave it to him.
We would have went back in the locker room, and I would have had it. And he was like,
yeah, I couldn't. But recently I got a bunch of people to sign the wrestler DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah, Necro Butcher's in the movie, and I'm like, I got Dylan to sign it and all that. And then everybody else started getting me other people there was in the movie to sign it, too. So awesome to Loke for hooking me up with Anderson.
There you go.
Yeah, let's do that one. We got a game called the 5 Questions to Doom.
All right, and we cue the music. Not that one. Over. No. Right there.
Okay, there we go. So this is a game.
It's always the red one.
Okay, it's always
the red one. I mean, the dark in the right, yeah.
Okay, so we play a game called 5 Questions to Doom, and it's all non-wrestling questions, or whatever, but we call it 5 Questions to Doom. So Dave's going to read them off. He never does it like that, so it's going
to be... Oh, you want me to do it? I'll read them off in the voice.
I want you to do
it.
It's going to be fun.
You want me to read them off in the voice?
No, don't do the voice.
Okay.
So we're going to start off, and ready, go.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is now time for the 5 questions of doom. Question number 1. Avengers or X-Men?
X-Men.
Yeah, I had to go with X-Men too because I'm a big fan.
Here's my thing. I like the cartoon stuff like that, but why does nobody talk about X-Force?
Because we're not talking about X-Force.
I know that, but I'm just saying, but nobody talks about X-Force. Yeah, it's always either Avengers or X-Men.
Okay.
And I mean, nobody talks about Super Friend.
Okay, we can do something later.
Not what I'm getting at.
Oh, gosh.
Question number 2. favorite sports team?
Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, nice.
Okay, okay.
Kurt Warner was a great quarterback.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
Yeah.
Question.
That's the thing. I was looking at, like, the best quarterbacks of all time, and nobody says his name.
I mean, it'd be Jay Elway.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, hey, Elway.
Yeah.
It would have to be. Would either be Elway or Marino.
Or Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Or Tom Brady.
Mm. Well, see, for me, honestly, I've grown up in Philadelphia, and I've been a Philadelphia fan all my life, so it would have to be Randall Cunningham for me.
He never won a Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter. Okay. Still the quarterback.
Ready? Question number three.
Question number three. Okay, this is a good one. We haven't done this one in a while.
Oh, okay.
Who would play you in a movie?
Who would play me in a movie?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Who would play me in a movie? I would say, what is the Tom Cruise?
Okay, I like that.
That's not bad.
Oh, hit the wrong button.
Uh-oh. Question number four. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh.
Bubblegum.
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Okay, here's the argument. Is it the bubblegum ice cream with the actual bubblegum in the ice cream?
Yeah.
Ah, awesome.
Whoa. They got bubblegum in ice cream?
Yes.
Yeah, bubblegum chip.
It's a little Chiclets ice cream. They're a little Chiclets gum, and they put it in ice cream.
Oh.
Oh, you know,
bubblegum flavored with Chiclet gum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's so good.
I'm going to pass on that.
I'm not the only crazy dude.
Dude,
I get paid to be crazy, so.
It's like hearing people saying pineapple on pizza.
Hey.
I'm good with it.
Papa John's with the barbecue sauce and the bacon. Oh, yeah. Like Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah. See, Jay gets it. All right, where are we? Question number five. Ooh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Power Rangers?
Ninja Turtles all day.
T-U-R-T-L-E, Power, T-U-R-T-L-E.
Who was your favorite turtle? Power.
Corey Feldman.
Raphael.
I was a Donnie fan. I was a Donatello fan.
Raphael. I represent the red.
Who did you like?
I was kind of Michelangelo. Because he was always the dude. He was always a surfer, you know. Probably went home, smoked the weed, and played a little metal.
Yeah, he rocked the orange.
Yeah. I just bought the DVD set recently, and I'm like watching.
But it's on Netflix.
I collect.
So do I, but
I collect
that.
Movies. I collect movies. Like, because our the other day, our whole our Wi-Fi went down. So the best way to do things is go old school. And I pull out the DVDs and watch movies. See, I don't need. The only reason why I have apps is because my brother, he lives in a home and he doesn't have money. So I pay for his apps. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah. You want to do road stories?
I thought we did road story. Did we do road story?
No, we did pranks and you probably saying road stories right there.
I mean, we could do road story.
Yeah. And then
I don't have anything else written down.
Yeah. We can do one more question after that and then end it.
Okay.
Okay.
Road stories and then one more question. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Road story.
Okay. Do you have any good road stories for us? Because I love road stories. I love jumping
in. Any good road stories?
Any good road stories?
I want to tell you this one right now, and it actually involves my girlfriend and I.
Okay, I like that.
Well, my fiance now, you could say.
Okay.
So we are on our way home from a show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to hit so bad, okay? And so we're going, we're just like, oh, we'll stop here. And there was a truck stop, and it was a truck stop bathroom. I don't know if you do you know anything about a truck stop bathroom?
All too well. You ever seen the movie Fanboys?
Yes, I know.
All right. So we stopped there, and it was in a trailer. It wasn't in a building. It was just a trailer that was not clean.
Oh, so I hate porta potties.
First thing, we see this thing, and my lady and I jump out of the car, and we run in there, and we go right inside the door, and it was like a bomb went off times five.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like bomb went off with shit and piss all over everything. And so literally we turned around, I walk out because I couldn't just smell too bad. And the next thing you know, she walks out and we couldn't do it. And then we get out of there and we have to piss so bad and we didn't know what to do. And there was a cop that pulled in right there when we were talking about it. And we're like, did we ask him if we could?
He was like, I would, if you want to catch me in one of those bathrooms.
Oh, he's like, yeah. He's like, you wouldn't catch me in one of those bathrooms. You could just go pee in the woods. I was like, oh, we're allowed to do that. He's like, you can do whatever you want. But I thought that was really funny because when you gotta go, like, you gotta freaking go. but
I totally
when you walk into something like that, you don't need to go as bad.
Oh, I understand so bad. I always Uber and Lyft, and it's so hard to find a bathroom.
I'll find
so
a while.
I pull over and put my blinkers on, and I'm like, let me make it look like I'm looking for something in my car.
or I'll piss in the woods.
Yeah, it's way easier for dudes than it is for girls.
I know. I feel so bad. There was a wrestler. I'll send the episode, and they just ribbed her the whole time, and like she was in the woods, and they kept on flashing the lights on her.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do one more question for this. Looking back in old school stuff, what do we always do before? Oh, pet peeves.
Pet peeves.
All right. So, do you have any pet peeves?
Pet peeve. I know I have a few.
Pet peeves in the business.
Wow. There's so many.
Oh, just give us the top two. You know what I mean?
All right. Mine is when a ref is not wearing black shoes.
Oh, black shoes.
Okay. Well, what about when wrestlers aren't training?
Yes. And that was a different one. Everybody else says other things. This is a new one.
Right. Like, why are you sitting around? Like I saw it last night. Like, it's no offense. I know Old Dogs guys are great. But they did a light bulb match and only one guy was around the ring cleaning up afterward. All those students, at least four of them, should have been around the ring helping clean up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Training is one of my pet peeves. Another one of my pet peeves is making sure that your gear fits you so you're not pulling your shit up all the way through your mat.
Wash your shit.
Yeah.
That's another
Wash
one of mine.
Your shit, yeah.
Wash your stuff. That's another one of mine.
That happened last night. I was kind of pissed off because the referee wasn't getting into the holds and stuff like that.
He's sitting there watching.
Yeah, he's just watching in the background. I'm like, this is horrible. I watch everything. And
referee Adam Galt, though, is a good referee.
He did say thank you to me last night. He's like, thank you for making me remember. Because he just totally forgot. I was like, how's the eye? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's doing okay. He started back selling, yeah.
The thing was about the other rep, he did like an arm spot. And then he went down that same arm and counted the fall.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine, too.
Yeah.
As a fan, podcaster, I get a little bit upset. So I would like to say thank you for coming on the show. Oh, what?
I'm sorry. I thought you were going to sing the Golden Girls song there for a minute.
Thank you for being a friend. You want me to sing that for you?
No, I don't, because you can't sing.
I know I can't sing.
But thank you, Jay Flyer, for coming on our show.
Well, thank you very much for 2300 Talk Radio for putting me on your podcast.
I like that one.
I like that, too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
We have to change the words.
Yeah, we might have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Please go on to jayflyer450.com. JAYFLYIER.
And make sure you spell it right.
Yes.
You can go on and see all of my social media, my merchandise, and all my information that needs to be known.
Okay. I'm going to hit the button right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richards, and we'll see you in the ring.
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravix.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, probably in the world. Extremely top three, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, they all come from the Ring of Honor Dojo, so you already know you're...
So they're going to be great, and they're definitely great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're going to experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here, you know. We're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best goal to come to.
Or burn.
Okay.
What Brack said.
So, once again, you know, best school probably in the world. Definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy. And Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling, Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog. And he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or Brax.
You'll burn.
No, you won't burn.
Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pellerino. Rest in peace, my friend.